retaliation would be strictly confined to those who had actually perpetrated the atrocity. A great advance on the law of vendetta, which permitted revenge against any member of the killer's tribe. The Quran reminded the Muslims that they were not fighting the whole tribe of Quraysh. Those who had remained neutral throughout the conflict and those Muslims who had chosen to remain in Mecca must not be attacked or injured in any way. Muhammad was not a pacifist. He believed that warfare was sometimes inevitable and even necessary. After the Battle of Badr, the Muslims knew that it was only a matter of time before Mecca took her revenge, and they dedicated themselves to a long, grueling jihad. But the primary meaning of that word jihad, which we hear so often today, is not holy war, but the effort or struggle necessary to put the will of God into practice. Muslims are exhorted to strive in this endeavour on all fronts, intellectual, social, economic, spiritual, and domestic. Sometimes they would have to fight, but this was not their chief duty. On their way home from Badr, Muhammad uttered an important and oft-quoted maxim. "We are returning from the lesser jihad, the battle, and going to the greater jihad, the immeasurably more important and difficult struggle to reform their own society and their own hearts." Badr had given Muhammad a far higher profile in the oasis. As they prepared for the inevitable Quraysh riposte, a covenant was drawn up between the Prophet and the Arab and Jewish tribes of Medina, who agreed to live peaceably beside the Muslims and promised not to make a separate treaty with Mecca. All the inhabitants were required to defend the oasis against attack. The new constitution was careful to guarantee the religious freedom of the Jewish clans, but expected them to provide aid to whosoever wars against the people of this document. Muhammad needed to know who was on his side, and some of those who were unwilling to accept the terms of the treaty left the oasis. They included several of the Hanifs, whose devotion to the Kaaba required them to remain loyal to the Quraysh. Muhammad was still a controversial figure, but as a result of his victory at Badr, some of the Bedouin tribes were willing to become allies of Medina in the forthcoming struggle. There were also changes in Muhammad's family life. On his return from Badr, he learned that his daughter Ruqayyah had died. Uthman was sincerely grieved, but was glad to accept the hand of his late wife's sister, Kulthum, and retain his close relationship with the Prophet. One of the prisoners of war was Muhammad's pagan son-in-law, Abu al-As, who had remained true to the traditional faith. His wife Zainab, who was still living in Mecca, sent the ransom money to Medina, together with a silver bracelet that had belonged to Khadija. Muhammad recognized it at once and became momentarily distraught with sorrow. He let Abu al-As go free without taking the ransom, hoping that this would encourage him to accept Islam. He refused conversion, but sadly agreed to the Prophet's request that he send Zainab and their little daughter Umamah to him in Medina, because life would now be impossible for them in Mecca.